Praise the Lord. You ready for the word this morning? Say it with me, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, Ephesians 4:8, because of the season, it talks about Jesus, and it says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. When I was thinking about that this morning, do you realize God doesn't give you underwear for Christmas? Hallelujah. He gives you good gifts. Good gifts. When it says He gave gifts to men, He gave us good gifts. He gave us gifts of life, of Zoe. He gave us gifts of righteousness, of salvation, of deliverance. He gave us gifts of power. He didn't just say, well, there's a present, you know, whatever you want to do with it. It's okay. No, He gave us life itself. That was His gift to men, so to speak. So in 1 Corinthians 12:1, we're talking about, and we may finish it up today, about the kingdom gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. As we've been saying, ignorant is dumb. There's too many people in the body of Christ. They are ignorant. They are uneducated about the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, it gives us the tells us these gifts are for the profit of all. Excuse me. And it lists the gifts. I'm just going to list them here real quick. It lists the gifts in verses 7 to 11. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different or diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And I keep stressing, these are not given in an order of importance. Okay? We need to understand that, because these are not bragging rights. They're not given in, well, I have this and you only have that. No, no, no. These are all gifts, and they're all given for the profit of all. And we've been talking about that tongues is the most attacked of the kingdom gifts, because it is the gateway gift to activate all the others. If you want to begin to operate in the nine gifts of the Spirit that God has given to us, you know, you need to get started somewhere. Hello? You need to activate it. You know, when we grew up, we had the old pumps on the farms and some of the houses we went to. He had the old hand pump, and they always had a glass of water up there on top of the pump, because you had to prime the pump. You had to get it going. And sometimes you would hate it, but sometimes people wouldn't refill the primer. And so you had to pump extra hard, and you had to pump sometimes a lot longer than you wanted to before you could get water. And the first thing you did when you got water is you filled up the cup. You wanted to be sure for the next person that they had something there. Well, filling up the cup to overflowing is the beginning of speaking in tongues. And tongues begins to be a primer to get you involved into the flow of the other gifts of the Spirit. And we've been saying that there's such adversity against speaking in tongues, because a lot of people who attack tongues attack it because they believe the supernatural has passed away. Well, if it has, you're not born again. If it has, you're not going to heaven, because heaven's pretty supernatural. You don't believe in angels anymore because they're supernatural. You know, they limit their faith to only the natural things. And even some Pentecostals have done that, where they tongues really isn't important. No, it's just a gateway. That's like saying salvation isn't important. I can get to heaven another way. No, you can't. You can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. You can't just choose how you're going to operate. And that's what men do so often. Well, I choose that this is how I want to operate. Well, that's wonderful that you have your plan, but God's plan works. Your plan is just a plan. God's plan works. He knows what He's doing, and so this is why tongues is so important. Every time we pray in the Spirit, I'm just going to say a few phrases here and go on. Every time we pray in the Spirit, there's a release of the supernatural into our natural. Speaking in tongues involves submitting your natural man to the work of the Spirit. And that's the clutch on so many things. Speaking in tongues is the submission of your natural man to the work or the influence of the Holy Spirit. we mentally can shut God out while acknowledging all of his promises. Because the natural man doesn't rely or trust on the spirit. He trusts on natural things. That's why he's called carnal. That's why he's called natural. You know, we, and I think I might have shared this, but we had a pastor several years ago. He came to me and said, explain to me your doctrine about the Holy Spirit. And I sat down and told him the doctrine that we believe about the Holy Spirit. He says, we believe exactly the same thing. I said, I know you do. I said, doctrinally, you and I don't disagree on anything. I said, the difference is I have the experience of the doctrine where you only have the doctrine. He looked at me and says, yeah, you're right. So you can have right doctrine and never experience salvation. You can have right doctrine and never experience deliverance. You can have right doctrine and never be healed. You can have right doctrine and still go to hell. Because we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that not being of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So if you don't receive the gift, the doctrine doesn't do you any good. That's why you're going to have messed up doctrine sometimes and still be right with God. Because it's not based on your doctrine. But we get messed up doctrine because we haven't spent time in the Spirit. We're still interpreting spiritual things according to the natural, and it'll goof you up every time. So the third thing is, it begins, speaking in tongues begins to discipline your mind to be open to the influence of the Holy Spirit. It disciplines your mind. If I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and a lot, now this is a real curious thing. We don't have time to go into all nine gifts, but one of the curious things is when you begin to pray in tongues, you can interpret to yourself. You can seek the interpretation. You can get understanding. Paul says, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with understanding. Well, you can interpret that two ways. One is I pray in English and I pray in the Spirit. That's one interpretation. It's accurate. Another one is I pray with understanding because I pray in the Spirit and I get understanding of what I'm praying in the Spirit. And that's also true. You can get understanding. You don't have to just babble. You can get understanding if you want. You can get wisdom if you want. If you want these things, you can. God will show you things. See, when you begin to do this and begin to operate in, you'll get a word of knowledge for your situation. You'll get a word of wisdom. You'll get the discerning of what's really going on behind the scenes that you don't understand. You say, well, you see, God doesn't pop up and say, word of knowledge now. He doesn't do that. There's no neon lights. There's no angelic appearance. There's none of this stuff. You just have a knowing, a sensing from the Spirit that begins to flood over your mind, and by your disciplining your mind to begin to receive from the Spirit, now you can get wisdom that you don't have in the natural. And wisdom you can't collect in the natural. Why? Because you're tapping into that supernatural, and God's supernatural is beginning to pour over into your mind, into your natural man, so you can understand things that you don't have any experience with. It's really a neat process. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:7. We're going to spend some time in 1 Corinthians 12. Keep your spot there, but we're going to go to some other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's given individually for the profit of all. We need to learn to use the individual blessing that God has given to us to benefit others. And too often, we've spent so much time on this, and I've got to repeat it, too often we have used the gifts for our own benefit to puff us up in front of others, and it's no profit to anybody else. And that's why a lot of people get turned off. And I understand why they get turned off. Because I've had people come to me, well, I speak in tongues. Do you speak in tongues? I prophesy. Do you prophesy? I move in words of knowledge. Do you move in words of knowledge? I've got news for you. You move in words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You move in discernment, the gifts of the Spirit, without even knowing it. And I could detail things that go on in you that if you would look at it from a spiritual point of view, you would say, that's what that was. Well, I didn't understand that. I know you didn't understand it. See, when you begin to flow in the things of the Spirit, these things begin to happen naturally. I don't need a word of wisdom to drive to the church. I get in my car and I just go and do it. But sometimes a word of wisdom will come, take this route. Okay, so I'll take that route. I don't know why I took that route, but I take that route. Then I get to church and find out there was a major accident, or there was a blockage, or there was road construction or something. It's like, well, that was no big deal. You're right. We move in it as Christians all the time. I'll tell you, some non-believers move into it. But see, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand what's going on in your life. Go to Acts chapter 2. Keep your place in 1 Corinthians 12. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to try to tap into a few things today. But Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, very common scripture when it comes to the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. That's why we call it tongues. Tongues, or one of the reasons we call it tongues. Divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's a supernatural sign of tongues from heaven as of fire. And then they spoke in supernatural tongues, but they spoke in the natural realm of the tongues that they were receiving from the Father. And this is and the Spirit gave them utterance. If you go from there, because this, how do I share this? A lot of people say, well, tongues is only mentioned in 1 Corinthians, possibly 2 Corinthians. So therefore, it can't be all that important. The reason Paul is even bringing up the issue, because this was common in the church. The only reason he brought up the issue was because the Corinthians were messing it up. And you read Corinthians, he is correcting them in that whole letter, 1 Corinthians. He is setting them straight. You come together for a love feast and you do this. Some of you are drunk in this corner. Others of you are just pigging out over in this corner. And there's people in your midst that are hungry and they're without. If you need to eat and you're hungry, do it at home before you come into the church. Because when you come into the church, this is the Lord's feast. This isn't about you getting drunk or you getting filled or anything else. It's a Lord's feast. But if there's anybody among you needy, then you need to take care of them in the Lord's feast. So he's disciplining them. He's correcting them. Therefore, Paul goes into detail. But in the church, this was normal activity. It was a normal activity for about the first 500 years in the church. It took a long time to quench this. The church actually started passing rules to stop it. Now, why do you have to pass a rule to stop something that doesn't exist? Think about it. They had to pass laws in Rome in the Catholic before it became the Catholic Church. But they when the pagans took over the church after Constantine, they passed rules for that Christians could no longer go to the Jewish feasts, festivals, or the synagogues for teaching and instruction about the scripture. Well, why do they have to pass a rule? Because if you really wanted to understand scripture, you had to go to a Jew because they knew it. They understood these things. Now, you could bring in about the Holy Spirit. You could bring in about the things of Jesus Christ and salvation. You could bring in those things, but it was a Jewish understanding that was still influenced the church for the first 300 to 400 years. And we forget about all that now because we don't know any of those things. God's restoring wisdom in the church. Amen. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, some people say, well, this has passed away. Well, go to Acts 2:17. Let's go up to 14. 13. We'll get it. We'll find a good starting point. I tell you, it all flows together. It's hard to separate it sometimes. It says, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. There's always mockers. There's always people who are going to tear down anything of God. There's always going to be someone mocking what you're doing. It says, mockers came. It said, oh, they're drunk. They don't know what they're doing. And Peter standing up with you don't talk this way to Peter. You don't put down his Christ. You don't put down his Messiah. He is bold. He's just going to stand up. Wait a minute, son. He's standing up with the 11, raised his voice. raised his voice and said, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." In other words, you pay attention to me. "These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." That's always an interesting, we won't go there, but that's an interesting thing. It's only the third, it's too early to get drunk. Too early to be doing this kind of stuff. But he says, we're not drunk. He said, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." In other words, what we're experiencing now, what you're hearing, this was prophesied in your scriptures. The things that you guys say, you believe. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh." Ooh. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." I always like that, sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. The early church was persecuted because they dared to allow women to speak in church. Now, you don't hear that much today. But if you go back to the original writings, the Roman religions condemned the early church because you dared to allow women to participate. You dared to allow women to minister. You dared to allow women. But see, we only know King James. By the time King James came around, women were, "Take your place, woman. Got to follow behind me. I'm the man. I will lead." Well, look where that got the church. So in the early Bible, we see it right here. You say, "Oh, wait, this is Old Testament, isn't it? This isn't even new in Jesus' day. It's Old Testament. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So he said, this ought to not be a new thing, particularly to Jews, that there's an outpouring of the Spirit. And it shouldn't be a thing. Now, he's equating here. This is kind of risky ground, but he's equating the baptism of the Spirit, to speaking in other tongues, with prophecy. Because it is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. He says, this is what tongues is. Tongues is an evidence of the outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh. Now, as a believer, I shared last week, but as a believer, why don't you want what God has given? You may not understand it. You may say, "Well, I don't know why I need this," but if you're like me, I told God, I said, "I don't understand it. I don't know what this is all about, but it seems to be important to you. So if it's important to you, I want it because you said I ought to have it. You said I shouldn't leave Jerusalem without it." See, I was submitting my natural man, my natural understanding. I said, "Lord, I have no clue what this stuff is. I don't know anybody who's baptized in the Spirit. I don't know any charismatic circles. I don't know anything like that at all. But God, you said this is important. So Lord, I'm submitting myself to you." And he baptized me in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of other tongues. Isn't God good? Yeah. I found out the other day, Art heard, was in church, and Mike had a word of tongues, and I had the interpretation. And Mike said when he got home, he said, "My dad asked me," he says, I heard something." He said, "I'm in worship, and all of a sudden I heard this voice next to me. And I turned over, it was you." He said, "What were you doing?" And Mike explained to him, within 2 or 3 days, because it was evidently while Mike was still there at the house visiting, so it had to be just within maybe a day or not more than 2 days, he said, "Dad went in and read his Bible like he did every day." He said, "And laid down in bed." He said, "All of a sudden," he said, "I heard him speaking in other tongues." Yeah. Well, if my son can do it, I can do it too. So he just began to speak in other tongues. Nobody laid hands on him. Nobody did anything. He just laid in bed and just started worshiping God, and tongues just started coming out. And some of you got baptized that way. You just were worshiping God and praising him, and all of a sudden tongues started coming out. We met a woman in what I call my home church in Ohio. She came up to us one day when we were visiting. She said, "I got a question to ask you." I said, "Okay." She says, "Sometimes when I pray, this weird language seems to come out of my mouth." She said, I don't understand it. Is that okay? We'll see if you're in the spirit. You know, realize she's speaking in other tongues. But she doesn't know anybody who does that. She doesn't want to offend anybody. She really doesn't want to offend God. But she's not comfortable to go to her pastor because she, and I knew the pastor fairly well, because she knows the pastor's response would be, that's of the devil. You need to cut that out. Well, how many of you remember the scripture says, if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a serpent. He says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, don't you think God the Father knows how to give good gifts to his children? So I told her, we didn't try to explain it to her. We just said, it's okay. She said, you really think so? I said, it's fine. I said, it's just God praying through you. Oh, okay, because she said, it feels really good. It just thrills me on the inside when that happens. You just keep on going, dear. You just keep on. You're going on the right path. See, I didn't want to feed her doctrine because she wouldn't understand it anyway. She had nobody to reinforce it. I'm just, you go ahead, dear heart. You go ahead and you just do this thing because it's right with God. And so, she doesn't know anything about it. So I believe, the belief is John Wesley spoke in other tongues. A third of his library disappeared when he died. His brother, Charles, and his wife took a third of John Wesley's library out and destroyed it because there were things so controversial they didn't want anybody to get a hold of those things. Remember, it was John Wesley that talked about the burning in the bosom. He said, don't preach till you get the burning. Kind of like Jesus, don't leave Jerusalem without it. You need this. You need this fire of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what it was. They didn't understand it, but they knew there was fire. They knew there was something extra happening to them that lit them up. It was John Wesley who said, if you want to draw men, set yourself on fire. They'll come to watch. And they will if you get excited about the things of God. Amen? So, okay, what all do I want to say out of this? In the upper room when the Spirit came, they all spoke with other tongues. It is an initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But now listen, because this is where we get into a lot of error. It's not the only one. It's the initial evidence, but not the only one, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, we're to bear fruit. And we're judged by our fruit, not by how long you speak in tongues. How publicly you speak in tongues, or unpublicly you speak in tongues, or whether you prophesy, or whether you move in the gifts of the Spirit. We're to be known by our fruit. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that move in the gifts of the Spirit that move in tongues that have no fruit. See, tongues has become like the leaves of the fig tree. It's a sign indicating that there should be fruit, but upon inspection, there's none. And it discredits God because of the failure of men to follow God and produce fruit. See, Jesus said if you abide in the branch, fruit's a natural thing. Do you know you can pray in tongues and not abide in the branch? You can move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and not abide in the branch? Now, that confuses me. I don't like that doctrine. But that's why I'm not so curious about the gift that you have. I want to see your fruit. And there's a lot of people, pastors, ministers, a lot of just normal Christians that exercise gifts, but they have poor fruit. It doesn't manifest through them. And we were talking about some of that fruit this morning in Sunday school. But when we inspect you, there ought to be fruit. Galatians 5, don't turn there, but Galatians 5, 22 and 23 describes the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Love, joy, smile at me. Smile when you say joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, and here's one we all don't like, self-control. You know, self-control is a fruit. If you spend time with God, you'll develop self-control. I don't know why I do this. You're not spending enough time with God. I don't know why everybody's always picking on me. Spend time with God. You know, it's like all these things. If you spend time with God, Spend time in the Spirit, fruit will come. Fruit will, I guarantee you, fruit will come. You spend time with God, fruit will come. But you got to spend time with God. You got to abide in the branch. You got to abide in the vine. You got to spend time with Him, and fruit will come. It's natural. Some of us are, I believe I have patience. 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 Oh, my goodness. We all wish you had patience. See, it's the fruit of the Spirit. When you abide with Him, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, all these things. Now go with me to this scripture, because this will be curious. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 12. So you say, well, I think we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We are. Gifts of the Spirit ought to produce fruit. Amen. It's for the profit of all. And if you don't produce fruit, who's profiting? I don't care if you have a word over me. I'll dismiss it if I don't see fruit. Hello? I keep saying, I'm not overly impressed with prophets. I want to inspect their fruit, because if they're living right, it means their words are going to be more right, because they're not going to be filtered through a poor filter. So if I watch their life and see the character in them and see the fruit in them, I can trust their word more. Understand that? So Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on. Got to put these things on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. How many of you know it's not a joy to bear with one another? Oh, come on, you can talk to me better than that. Just don't look to your neighbors. Don't look to your family members. Just look at me. It is hard to bear with some people. It takes a gift of the Spirit to bear with some people. Sometimes we can't even put up with ourselves for very long. It's a difficult thing to do. You know, it's like you can only see yourself if God shows you yourself. Because if you look at yourself apart from God, you are a royal mess. But when God shows you, He always shows you through His love, through His righteousness, through His power and His strength, and He shows you what you can become. See, if I look at myself in the mirror, I see every wrinkle, I see every flaw, I see every pimple. My hair won't lay right that day. I see how I'm not 20 years old anymore. You know, and I can start feeling old if I look in the mirror for too long. But if I look through the mirror of the Word of God, oh, He renews my strength. He makes me leap over a troop. I can run without getting winded. I can do all things. See, if I'm looking through Him, He shows me who I can be. He shows me what I am becoming. If I look at the natural, I'm just getting older and older and older. And some of you have looked too long in the natural mirror, and you're caught up with the aging process instead of God's renewal process. You don't need a new cream. Well, let me put it this way. You just need to smear yourself with the anointing a little bit more. Hallelujah. Okay, where were we? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See, now these are things I choose to do. I choose to forgive you. I choose to let it go. I choose to not hold things against you. Why? Because God has chosen not to hold things against me. See, if I understand His love, now I can have love. But if I look at God as demanding on me, then I will be demanding on you. Amen. Good preaching, brother. But verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So let the peace of God rule. You know, the number one problem in America is a lack of peace. We are so stressed out over everything. You know, we complain about the news, but you're probably stressed out over other things. That's why you get so stressed out over the news. You're just stressed. What, you remember here about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, they said a new study, stress does not cause heart attacks. And all of a sudden, everybody started saying, whoever got this idea that stress causes heart attacks? And I'm thinking, because the doctors have been preaching that for 50 years. And they prayed the doctors out. Oh, we've never believed that stress caused heart attacks, all this. And then within 6 months, a new study came out. You know that first study, that's wrong, it's flawed. Stress does cause heart attacks. And they prayed the same doctors out. Well, we've always said that stress caused heart attacks. It's like, you guys are so ungrounded, whatever the new thing is, you will grab hold of it like you always believe this. Like some Christians. Oh, yeah, I always believed that. No, you didn't. Don't lie to me. Well, I got, you know, my dad was like that. When I got something, one time we were driving home, and I forget where we were, and the radio came on and said, breaking news, we just got this, literally, we just got this right now. And they said whatever the news was. And I walked into Dad and said, Dad, did you hear about this? And went on and said, oh, I knew about that weeks ago. I said, Dad, you couldn't have known about it weeks ago. They just gave it on the radio, and they said they just got the news. It just came in. I've known about it for weeks. Liar. Now, that was when I wasn't all as restrained as I am now. So you'd like me a lot better now than you would have then. I blew up. My sister was there one day when I blew up. She wanted to run. Debbie would just beat me. No. But it's like, my goodness. I know it's just unreal. Oh, I always knew that. No, you didn't. Be honest with yourself. That's a start. Be honest with yourself. I didn't know that. And so we all have that tendency, don't we? And somebody tells you something new, you don't want to look like you're dumb. So you say, I know that. Or I think I heard something about that the other day. And sometimes you didn't. Sometimes just be honest with yourself and say, really, I haven't heard that before. But it makes sense. I can understand it. I can see it. I can grasp it. But I never gave that a thought before. And see, these are, you limit your growth in the spirit when you say, well, I knew that. Because at that point, you become what the Bible says, unteachable. When you're unteachable, you can pray in the spirit and not bear any fruit. Because you're really not submitting your mind. You're submitting your body to the discipline, but you're not submitting you to God. And when you don't submit you to God, you don't bear fruit. Is this good preaching? Is that all right? You don't bear fruit. And God is a fruit inspector. And we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. Not judges, but fruit inspectors. Amen. See, some won't believe speaking in tongues has any importance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So we know by that he was Southern. Okay? Not really, but I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now think about it. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 letters in the New Testament. Peter referred to the writings of Paul as scripture. Call them scripture. Equal with the Old Testament prophets. Call them scripture. Now how did Paul get all this knowledge? I praise God, I pray in tongues more than you all. He has spent time in the Spirit. He spent time praying in tongues. How does Paul know all these things? Has he experienced all of them? Really? Probably. If you compare how much time you spend in praying in tongues, some of us, we only pray in tongues when we're at church, in a service. You don't pray in tongues during the week. You don't pray in tongues in your prayer life. You don't seek the Holy Spirit. You don't take time to listen to God because you're so busy on the inside. You don't have time to listen. Now, if you would take the time to listen, you wouldn't be so busy in your mind all the time because you'd get peace. Hello. You get peace. Is this good? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's when we come back to that area. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me get my stuff straightened out here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, he says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now that's a great excuse. It's a wonderful excuse. Well, you know, God's just so big, we can't understand him. I mean, look, the Bible even says that eye has not seen, ears not heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love. There's just some things about God we will never understand. Wait a minute, Paul just said up here, we speak wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Who's the ruler of this age? Devil. Who are coming to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So we're talking about this wisdom, but the wisdom of the world says, oh, eye has not seen, ears not heard. Nope, we don't have any clue. They've not entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now go on to verse 10. But, what does but mean? You usually forget everything I just said. Eye has not seen, ears nor heard, but God has revealed them to us. That's an awesome thought. God has revealed them to us. Now, how has God revealed them? Oh, I read a book the other day. No. How has God revealed it to us? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, when you deny the work of the Holy Spirit, you are denying yourself access to the deep things of God. You're denying yourself access to the wisdom of God. Why? Well, I don't need that. Well, if you don't need the wisdom of the Spirit, if you don't need this entrance, then where is your wisdom coming from? The ruler of this age. Natural, carnal understanding. Now, do you need some of the wisdom of this age? Yes. But do you base your life on the wisdom of this age? No. So the Bible says study to show yourself approved. But you've got to do more than just study natural things. You need to study the supernatural. Because the supernatural put you over. The natural can give you entrance into certain areas. But you've got to have the spiritual to understand how to use the natural language. Or the natural things that you learn. There's how do I express this? We are graduating a lot of people from college that have lots of wisdom. They know a lot of facts. You put them in an office and expect them to live according to what they have learned, and they don't have a clue. Because all they know is stuff. My greatest education in college was not in architecture. My greatest education was people. Of how to put up with unbelievers that I'd never been around. How to put up with these weird people. In seminary, my greatest education was not what my professors taught me. It's how to overcome what the professors taught me. It was how to believe the Bible in spite of all the things that were coming out against it. It was how to stand my ground when everything is attacking everything I believed. And I didn't have I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit at those times. That came later. But I knew enough to know the Bible is true. The Bible is real. And anything that contradicts the Bible has got to be wrong. But all the natural evidence seemed to contradict it. All my professors, all these educated people that knew this stuff. Now, once I got into the realm of the Spirit, once I began to get the baptism, I got more fully convinced of what I already knew in the natural, but now the spiritual gave life to it, and now I can explain a lot of those things where I couldn't explain it before because I didn't have the spiritual understanding to counteract it. That's how come we get involved in arguments. I can prove to you Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, and I can explain all this. And we can argue carnally over that, and I can't convince you. But The Bible says he was raised on the third day. There's some people that by reading the scripture, they can tell you the very day Jesus was crucified and buried. And the world says, well, you can't know that. Yeah, you can by the Bible. See, it all determines what your source of information is. If it's carnal, people can throw any kind of thing in front of you at all, and it'll trip you up. But when you're grounded and rooted in the Spirit, oh, now I'm on the solid rock. I am not easily moved. Not because I'm stubborn, but because I know things you don't know. Because I understand things you don't know. How can a good God send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. You choose to go there. He sent Jesus to save you. You're already going. You're already bound for hell. You're already destined for hell. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You're already going. He sent Jesus to save you, to deliver you out of it. Well, how can a good God allow sickness and disease? Well, sickness and disease are a result of sin. And as long as you live in sin and the inheritance of sin that has come upon you, there are things that just aren't right. But it's not God. God didn't create sin. Sin is a result of a fallen world. But see, the natural man, well, this is how the world has always been created. No, no, no. The world was created perfect. In your mother's womb, you were created perfect. Sin messed you up. Not even your own sin. Boy, I'm really mad at my parents sometimes. No, I'm just teasing. It's all their fault. No, it's not their fault. Because, see, Jesus has given me a new DNA. Jesus has given me a new gene pool. See, God is my Father. God is my Father. I don't have to repeat the patterns of my parents, but I can learn from them. And I can appreciate what they taught me. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. See, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Let's keep on reading 1 Corinthians 12. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got access now to God. And God can now begin to reveal things to you, not according to the world, but the things of God, because God has freely given them to us. But until you experience the supernatural realm, the spiritual realm, you cannot grasp these things. It's kind of like what Nemo said to his son, I know you think you can do these things, but you can't. And see, in the natural, you think, well, I can do these things. And I'm telling you, in the natural, you can't. But in the spiritual, all things are possible to him who believes. So you've got to get the right grounding. And so many people are trying to dismiss spiritual things because all they have known is the natural things. And I'm telling you, there's a whole other world out there. And it's a world that's good. And it's a world that meets your needs. And it's a world that builds you up. It's called God. And He is above the natural things. He can bring people back from the dead. He can heal cancerous, deadly tumors. He can heal you out of heart attacks and deliver you out of these things. See, God can do all these things. Well, I just don't understand that in the natural. I know it doesn't make any sense in the natural. It doesn't make any sense at all in the natural. You can't prove any of these things happen in the natural. They've got, you know, these people are offering, I'll give $1 million if anybody can prove a miracle. Well, here's my x-rays before and after. I don't believe that. Well, man, I gave you evidence. I don't believe that. I don't accept the evidence. Well, then no one can ever convince you of anything. Because you're refusing evidence to the contrary. Now, we need to do that with the world. Because we have the truth in Jesus Christ. And we need to reject their false evidence because it is false. They say you can never get better. You can never improve. The condition of mankind is going down, down, down. It's no, 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 no. Jesus said it's going up, up, up. See, Jesus says we're being changed from glory to glory. The world says you're going from bad to worse. Oh, I'm going to agree with Jesus. I'm going to listen to His report. I'm getting better. Older, better, wiser, stronger, handsomer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm believing it. Don't contradict me. See, 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, let's do 13 first. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. What are the things of God that are spiritually discerned? Well, his covenant, his promises, his plans, his will. These are all spiritually discerned. You cannot grasp these things in the natural. Well, what could God ever do with my life? A lot. But see, the natural says, oh, you came from Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. You come from Kaiser? Nothing good comes out of Kaiser. Oh, yeah, but God can bring the Savior. God can bring the Deliverer. God can, his anointing can change everything. Now, who are you going to believe? See, if you want hope, you've got to believe God. If you want to change anything, you've got to believe God. You just can't drift with everybody else. See, this is why the kingdom gifts are directed not by our will, but by the will of God. That's why the gifts come at his will, at his choosing. Because you can't do this stuff by yourself. So it's got to be the revealed word of God. I'll close with 15 and 16. I like this out of Corinthians. He says, but he who is spiritual, because he says they are spiritually discerned, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, isn't that the question? Who knows the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, we don't have the mind of Christ to instruct God, but we have the mind of Christ to know the mind of God, to know his mind. See, this is what salvation is about, that we would have Zoe life, that we would have the life, the character, the person of God in us, that we would know these things. Not just because we've read a book about it, but no, we've experienced it. This is tangible. For the hope that was set before him, he endured the suffering of the cross. Why? Jesus saw above the suffering. He saw beyond that. He saw the end result. And so because he saw the end, I can do this. I don't want to, but I can do it if I have to do it. If I have to go to the cross and die, I can go to the cross and die. Why? I've seen the resurrection. I've seen the power of God raise me up. And I've seen my brothers and my sisters being born again and made alive by the power of God. Oh, I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for them. I'm not doing this just for myself. Jesus didn't die for bragging rights. He did it for you and for me. That we would know God even as he knows us. Isn't that powerful? See, and when you dismiss the Holy Spirit and just kind of let that go, oh, what disservice we do to God. What disservice we do to him. Because we know more than God. No, you don't. See, to have the mind of Christ is to yield ourselves to God's will and be obedient to him. Because that's what Christ did. He said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. I only say the things I hear my Father say. And if we would follow Christ the way Christ followed the Father and flow in the giftings of the Holy Spirit, we would have the same results Jesus had. Now, isn't that thought-provoking? It doesn't take a lot. Oh, wait, it does. It takes your life. It takes total commitment. It takes God, your will, your kingdom come. Your will be done in me, even as it's done in heaven. See, this is a surrendering of ourselves to God. Amen. This is what it's all about. Hallelujah. You better stand up. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. God, we give you honor this morning. And God, we give you honor by giving you our lives. by seeking to be obedient to you, by submitting ourselves to you, God, by opening up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the leading of your Spirit, to the guidance that you give to us, God. We give you praise and honor for who you are, that Jesus, you died for us that we might have life, that Jesus, you have come and made your home in us who call on you, Lord, that we would be born again. Lord, that you've sent your Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to lead us and to guide us and to direct us into all things. And Father, that you have come yourself to make your home in us. Father, I thank you that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, live and dwell in us. Lord, I pray that we will yield ourselves to you, to your plans, your purposes, your work in the earth, that we would give you glory, Father, that we would be the light in the darkness that you called us to be. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.